Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and all the wonderful ways you got to get a hold of us.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
And that is much appreciated. Thanks to our guy, Dustin Rhodes. And our maven of sound, Kevin Zipak. And we have to thank Ray, even if Ray is off today. Bless you, Ray. We appreciate all the work you just to get the day off.
Good young man who's gone through hell.
He has gone through hell. And Adam Staszynski filled in for him ably and nobly. And Studs, congrats on your White Sox, buddy.
He's one of the most misunderstood people.
Speaking of misunderstood, let's talk to Dan Bernstein. Dan! You are one of God's great misunderstood people.
Morning, Dan.
The problem is I'm too well understood, I think. I think I'd probably do better if I were misunderstood. Hey, Mayor Lightfoot came out firing today. She had stuff to say. That was great.
Yes, she did. And I think that now you wonder how the Bears, if they do respond, because essentially she said that they have not been good partners and they have not been participants in this sort of conversation about getting – fans at Soldier Field, and that's a big deal. So yeah, she came ready and knowing what she wanted to say, and she's not afraid to say it.
Yeah, guys, this is Lori from Bucktown, and I got a few Bears thoughts for you. It was good.
I believe the Bears are preparing a press release response, and they're because someone said that they heard a yell in the office. How do you say humana humana humana? How do you spell it?
It's always the disconnect sometimes between the forward-facing public stance and what is said in press conferences and what they're actually doing. And she really made that very clear and sort of pulled that card, saying, yeah, they're saying all these awesome things. We nod our heads. Great. This sounds great. We're partners and we're talking. And she's like, no, they're actually not. And how often is that really the case?
And really, the takeaway is not necessarily, I mean, we could figure out why later, but the biggest takeaway, if you were wondering as a Bears fan, am I going to be able to go to Soldier Field this fall? It doesn't look good right now. And not that it did necessarily before that interview, but it looks even more bleak now because it doesn't even sound like they've discussed parameters yet.
No, and it's probably not safe. Did you see what apparently in Kansas City, they're already contact tracing because somebody at the game has COVID, and now they're trying to figure out who was sitting around them. Well, I mean, it's inevitable.
The Bears don't play in the SEC, so they're unlikely to let fans in.
She let the Big Ten have it too, right? I mean, that's pretty interesting. I'm very pleased with her.
And from a common sense perspective, it's kind of hard to argue with you, her, and you know what's going on and why it's going on. We talked at length about it yesterday. I don't know if you heard him yesterday, but Pete Futek, who's always really good, he makes his living off of college football. He literally is college football news. It's who he is. It's what he does. And he was really transparent about some of the difficulty that he's having, not just reconciling the world of college football and what it says about everything else, but his usual sort of snarky, whimsical take on everything. It's hard for people who, specifically him, to find the right tone to even cover it the way he usually does. You know, people come to him for some of the lighter side stuff and some of these the more quirky little takes on what's usually a fun world, and it's just not as fun.
Yeah, it's weird. We're going through a weird period of time, and you know, I get it. I think people are sick of having to deal with this, but nothing really has changed.
Right.
None of this thing. You know, you look at the situation at Soldier Field. There's 65,000 people can fit in that stadium. Surely you could come up with a plan that would get a limited crowd, but apparently nobody has bothered with that. And it's all just sort of hopes and dreams, and, you know, everything will be seashells and balloons and we'll all be happy in life. It's weird.
It's the first thing I thought about last night watching that Browns game was that, okay, here you hear the fans and you see them gathered and you wonder how long after this game are we going to see a headline that refers to the contact tracing similar to what we saw coming out of Kansas City and maybe other places. And that's not something that you relish being part of. You know, it's so from a fan standpoint, well, yeah, I don't think it is safe to go to a football game. And from our standpoint, it does change the tone with which we sort of – you know, talk about things. You want to mock the whole idea of what's going on at LSU, and then you think, you know, that's really kind of stupid and dangerous. So is it? Do you really want to mock it? And then you see Texas Tech and other examples of players testing positive, and it's just kind of more alarming than it is amusing.
It's a fine line between funny and terrifying, right? And to me, it comes down to something, and what we're really talking about here is the heavy lifting of leadership. The heavy lifting of smart people doing correct things or the most correct things they can. And the best leader we've had in this has been Adam Silver. And from the moment this started, and areas outside of sports, in industries, whether it's airlines, whether it's office buildings, everybody has had to rely. It's all been a piecemeal and patchwork approach where really smart, informed, aware, hardworking people have risen to the top. And I know people say a lot of bad things about Gary Bettman, but the NHL did a brilliant job doing what they did and saying, we're getting the hell out of the United States because we have things under better control here. But Adam Silver's leadership, and remember, when they went to Orlando, that was concurrent with Orlando and the county itself getting into a peak. And we're thinking, oh, this is crazy. And they stuck to their plan, and they said, we still think we can pull this off. And they are. They are. And because of good behavior, because for the most part, everybody has been on board and doing and sacrificing, frankly, they've been able to relax around the edges a little bit and say, OK, you can have a guest in. Why? Because you earned it by sticking to the protocols. And I don't know if you heard Ian Happ yesterday. He said that he really felt it when he walks around the city. He said, when I take walks and I see people dining outside with friends and family. And I didn't know that Major League Baseball players were strongly urged to not even do that, even though it's considered okay by local rules.
Eating?
He said they're not. They don't want to be the guy that ruins it for their team just on the off chance that something bad can happen. You know, that's so baseball's done a really good job too. And I applaud everybody who has stuck to it. Unfortunately, it hasn't set enough of an example for other people.
What kind of indictment is it that Adam Silver is the greatest leader through this?
No, but I don't know. He's just saying.
I agree with you, but I just think it's terrible that we're actually looking at life that way.
I know, but they've set an example. We always talk about, is sports a microcosm? Is sports an example? I said it months ago, I thought that we'd learn the right lessons. I thought that people would look at the success of the NBA and the NHL and say, look at what works. Look at how people make sacrifices. Look at how things have to be enforced. And what we've heard from reporters in the bubble about it, going through all of the stringent self-testing every day. Take your temperature. Load your vitals into the system. Not to mention coordination of resources. Sharing information, sharing resources, being at the bleeding edge of technological help on this. And they've done it, but we haven't learned the lessons. No one's looking at that and saying, oh, we could all do something like that. It's just not happening. Instead, we're posting TikTok videos.
We have a texter that weighs in and wonders if Mayor Lightfoot has removed all references to the Bears from her social media accounts. Well played.
Yeah. It's been a funny couple of days here. And I gave the Bears a lot of credit for how they handled the Allen Robinson situation, because a team that has been, for the better part of my existence, kind of ham-handed when it's come to dealing with crises, Matt Nagy and the Bears did a really good job turning that story and saying, yeah, of course players want him to get extended. This isn't some kind of locker room crisis. It shows how united we are. And the fact that maybe a year ago players wouldn't have felt empowered because, you know, distractions, don't be a distraction. We don't do that around here. Football, football, football. And the Bears are cool with it. They rolled with it nicely. They had Allen Robinson come out and talk when he wasn't previously scheduled. Don't you think that they sort of moved off the story?
No, I don't think it's – yeah. I think temporarily maybe, but
yeah.
When there's a
yeah.
report from ESPN's Dan Graziano that they're offering $15 to $16 million in the Cooper Kupp territory and Allen Robinson wants $18 to $19, it makes them sound just cheap. And that's not going away. And they're not cheap, but that's a bad look for the Bears.
But we didn't wake up thinking it didn't become a crisis, is what I'm saying. Like, this could have been something, a multi-news cycles. Now it's just kind of we've back-channeled it and say, okay, it does appear, for me, the headline there is they're negotiating, right? There are offers being exchanged, and if in fact that's where they are right now, that's not a final offer.
Well, let's see what happens. I think we're reaching a little bit right now. I mean, let's see if – I mean, I don't know that they want him. I don't know that they've clarified their
that's
position
the key.
On anything.
That's where the doubt exists for me. You know,
why
you're right, Molly.
They want him?
Well, yeah. Good question.
They want him at their price. And, you know, we talked to Dan Pompey. He brought up the fact that this guy, Ryan Pace, comes from a background where, you know, just ask him, he was around the Super Bowl team in New Orleans, and they don't pay receivers. You know, they're paying one of the great receivers there is, but they generally think you can get that guy. And despite all the evidence to the contrary, how do we know Pace doesn't feel that way?
I guess we don't. That would kind of be that would be unreasonable and actually alarming, because I don't know what more a receiver has to show you that he's elite and
that would be football malpractice,
needed.
Dan. That's what it would be. It would be football malpractice to not appreciate and understand the value of Allen Robinson in offense with a mediocre at best quarterback.
And off the field as well. Was he the Ed Block Courage Award winner and like the media winner? I mean, there's soft stuff here as well as the hard data. Speaking of which, I don't want us to go into the weekend and into the year 5781 without acknowledging something. And let the record show, I am bringing this up. Jose Abreu has eclipsed Tim Anderson in Fangraphs wins above replacement.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Jose Abreu is slashing.
You're saying you were wrong. I am wrong.
All I'm doing is stating fact.
Okay.
Jose Abreu.
The fact is you're wrong? Is that
batting .332. He's on base .374. He's slugging .644 with a weighted runs created plus of .173. His WAR is 2.4. He has now eclipsed Tim Anderson in both weighted runs created plus. Anderson is behind by just a marginal amount at 168 and a tenth of a win behind at 2.3. I am stating that objectively and entering it into the record.
Or as Molly and I call him, MVP-do.
That's right.
Did you see him run yesterday?
Yeah.
How about that? I got to tell you, when the ball was hit and then you see Polanco pick it up, and all of a sudden he's safe. Like, I was sitting there watching the game with my son, and we both were like, what is that? Like, how did that happen? Where did he learn to run?
And I was listening to the radio call.
Oh, it was incredible.
Andy Mazur was shocked. He was like, and he beat it out. It's like his call seemed surprised, because you look at the monitor, you look at the ball, and then you have a place in your mind of when you move your eyes, where you expect him to be.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden he's there instead of there. And actually I think it was Scott Merkin that had the StatCast data of how many miles an hour. It's like the fastest he's ever run, according to StatCast. And then you start thinking, why don't you do that all the time? If you're capable of that, like, right? Like, where's that been?
I, you know, the other element, and I think Steve Stone brought it up with us, is the idea that Josh Donaldson, when he hit his walk-off homer, the game was still ongoing. And when he was thrown out, he wasn't there to cut off that play. Maybe if he's at third, he does something there. He wasn't batting when the guy that replaced him struck out to start the eighth inning when they were down a run. I think that they lost their composure somehow in the course of that series, the Twins. And I'll be very curious to see how the Cubs handle them and what happens and if this is going to have any kind of carryover. Because I was surprised to see them, the way things went when Cruz was thrown out and the manager. I just think they lost their composure.
I also wonder if the umpire rotations, you're seeing the same umpires much more often now, and I'm wondering if familiarity is breeding contempt in a way that it didn't when you had more of a disparate distribution of umpiring.
That's
crews.
A good point. That's a really good point. Yeah. And Dan, to follow up, StatCast had Abreu at 28 feet per second, the second fastest sprint speed he's recorded on any play.
Okay, second fastest. All right. So, but that's something where it's like out of nowhere like that.
And above average. Yep.
I do know that there are, for older players or players who are more tighter muscled, they used to say with Aramis Ramirez this way, that they didn't want him to pull hamstrings, and they always said that there's a time and a place for going hard. Maybe the same for Wilson Contreras and some of these guys who have had muscle pulls in the past, that you don't have to go balls out all the time just for eyewash sake. But, maybe there's a little more in there when it matters for him.
Well, I got to tell you, it wasn't even close. Like, he was safe by a mile. It was just kind of – it was shocking to see how safe he was. And it just was absolutely hilarious. And
the umpire has ruled him extremely safe.
He's not even a little safe. It wasn't even like, well, we better check this. No, that guy, he literally is too – He's halfway up the bloody into right field, and you threw the ball. It was unbelievable.
He's so safe that they've taken off of an out.
It was that
crazy.
He's been
ruled maximally safe. He is the safest.
Yeah. And Dan, they also threw out Byron Buxton at home plate. I think he might have been safe, but he was ruled out, and he was just out. Like, he really was putting pressure on the defense, I guess you'd say. But the third base coach needs to rethink what he does for a living, because that was crazy.
When did Buxton get this good?
Oh, my God.
He's pretty fast, too. Yeah, he's pretty fast.
Yeah, he's a great center fielder. I mean, he is, I don't know that we've seen anyone like him. His timing is so good. And, man, I know that no Cub fan, if you don't watch this guy, I know you're not going to appreciate him because, he could cause trouble. But, man, he is a good player.
In his only full season, he played 140 games in 2017, and he was a 3.5 win player. I guess the problem with him is the on-base percentage is just essentially his batting average because he doesn't walk. It's sort of like what Tim Anderson is trying to improve on. But just, like, if you're scouting, like, and you see that body and that athleticism, and you start thinking about, that's like Eric Davis. If he can put it together, this is by far his most productive season. But just watching him move out there, that's you understand why he was the prospect that he was. But, as we always say, development's nonlinear.
What have you today, sir?
You know what I'm going to do today? I want to take a time out early in the show just to celebrate the White Sox and just to sort of be here and have a little party. Because if you can't do that, if you can't actually make time for it, there's no point to any of this. And I'm big on feeling happy about your team in the moment. And regardless of what happens next, it's critical that we take time to do it. So we're going to talk about the White Sox, but I'm going to open the phone lines, and we're just going to talk about how awesome the White Sox are, because it's okay every once in a while to do that. In our world, we've got to find spots for that. Then Anthony Heron's going to join me for the whole 10 o'clock hour to talk about Bears and Giants and NFL. Matt Miller will be along at 11, and we're going to do something fun in the 11:20 segment. Tonight, the Denver Nuggets, surprisingly, are set in the Western Conference Finals to go up against LeBron James and the Lakers. And remember who put the Nuggets together, in large part. It was the vision of the guy who's now running the Bulls. So Rick Camp is going to join us, NBA expert, to tell us how we can watch the Nuggets and be best informed about expectations for how the Bulls might be built.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Yeah,
have a great show, Dan.
Have a great one, buddy.
Have a wonderful weekend, guys.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.